You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
This morning's reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, reading from verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more value? Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
I wonder if we might pause for just a moment in prayer. Lord, by your Spirit, may your word dwell in our hearts and bear much fruit to your glory. For Christ's sake. Amen. I don't know how many of you have seen any of the Ice Age movies. Anyone seen some of those? Yep. So there's apparently a little character who appears in there, apparently has been given the name Scrat, but I don't think the name ever occurs in the movie, so some of you might know, but it's a sort of a squirrely sort of thing with a very long nose with a couple of sabre teeth at the end of the long nose. Anyway, this little character, Scrat, is characterised by being single-minded about something. Those of you who've seen the movie, what is Scrat single-minded about? Acorns, yes. Scrat lives in order to find acorns. And acorns seem, according to the Ice Age movies, acorns live in order to elude Scrat. All sorts of comical things going on as Scrat pursues relentlessly one thing, getting an acorn and then burying it in advance for the winter that's coming. Well, are you like that? Am I like that? Are we like that? Are we single-minded in pursuing one thing? Have we got one thing on our minds? Or do we pursue many different things? Those of you who are women perhaps are more capable of pursuing several different things at the same time. In my humble opinion, as a bloke, I'm pretty useless at that. I tend to think of only one thing at a time. I do manage to think of different things by doing them in sequence, one after another. Women, fortunately, God is blessed with the capacity to look after several different things all at the same time. But here in Matthew 6, Jesus is addressing all of us, both men and women, and telling us to seek one thing only and to let other things fall in place after that only. Seek first the kingdom of God, says Jesus, and he recorded for us here in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added after that. Indeed, near the beginning of today's reading, there's a somewhat similar statement. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I think in each case, these two statements, we can put them side by side, if you like, at the beginning and the end of today's text. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven and seek first the kingdom of God. I think they're both really saying the same thing. Have God and a heavenly agenda controlling everything that you do. We're continuing this morning in sermons in the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. I've already said before that I think the Sermon on the Mount can be thought of as like a campaign speech from Jesus. It's the biggest block of teaching according to Matthew's Gospel, and it occurs right at the beginning of the account of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew saying, this is what Jesus is teaching above all, pay careful attention. And we found last week that when Jesus was speaking about a number of areas of life, that we have to pursue what God thinks about what we're doing and forget about what other people think about what we're doing. In fact, the point that Jesus was really making is you can't have both. If, for example, when you're praying or giving to the needy and you want to do that in order to get some of other people's respect, you want to impress other people, then Jesus is saying, if you do that, then you won't get any benefit, you won't get any reward, you won't get any recognition from God the Father. You've got to have one or the other. Well, here again, I think Jesus is saying the same sort of thing. You can't have both. You can't pursue both the kingdom of heaven and earthly things. You can't store up for yourself treasures in heaven and store up treasures on earth. You can't seek God's kingdom and earthly stuff. Well, in fact, Jesus makes that very plain in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise. I think that's actually Jesus using a bit of humour there. He says, you can't, either you'll hate the one and love the other. You think, oh no, it's not like that. So Jesus, okay, there's another way. It could be you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. It's really the same thing, isn't it? It's like the Aussie humour that says you've got two chances. You know the two chances you've got? Buckley's and none. Yeah. Apparently that comes from Melbourne. Is that right? I used that illustration at the 9 o'clock service, except I said none and Buckley's, and people came up to me afterwards and said, Andrew, you got it wrong. It's Buckley's and none. Right. The two chances you got. Okay. Well, it's like that's the same sort of humour here. Jesus is saying, oh, so you reckon you can, you don't necessarily have to choose between one master and the other? Okay. Hate the one, love the other? You don't think it's like that? Well, okay, it's be devoted to one, despise. It's the same thing, one or the other. And that's the theme that runs through this whole passage. Jesus is saying, choose one only, not the other, not both. So lay up for yourselves then, he says, treasures in heaven instead of here on earth. Look at all of the, let's think about all of the opportunities we have for the earthly treasures here. so many more opportunities now that we have than what Jesus' original hearers would have had a couple of centuries ago. They couldn't have dreamt of half the stuff that we've got available to us now, all of the gadgets and houses and clothes and entertainment and so on. A friend of mine said yesterday he went into Aldi, you know, just the supermarket, to buy his sort of weekly meat and a few other things. And he was confronted with four items that all grabbed for his attention. He thought, oh, I'll get one of these. He saw, when he went into Aldi, a freezer, an angle grinder, bongo drums, and a meat mincer. He thought, wow, they're all four things I really need. He thought I'd better just limit himself. So he just chose one only out of those four things. What did he choose, you reckon? A freezer, an angle grinder, bongo drums, and meat mincer. All pretty good. Well, his friend suggested he should get the bongo drums. He said, no, I've already got bongo drums at home, so he didn't need them. So having gone to the supermarket to buy his weekly meat, he went home with a freezer. But we've got, there's so much stuff, isn't there? There's so much stuff all around us that we can store up for ourselves, treasure here on earth. Jesus says, moth and rust consume, thieves break in and steal. It won't last. It won't last. And we're silly if we think it will last. Everything about this earthly life is going to go one day, one way or another. All sorts of things. Jesus is saying don't pursue these sort of things. Now, Jesus is not saying that money of itself is bad. The Bible on a number of occasions indicates that we should be responsible with money and we can use it for good things. For example, in 1 Timothy 5:8, we're told that we should care for our family and provide for the future. And it's also, we're also told that God has given us good things that we should enjoy with thanks to God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and chapter 6. So Jesus is not against money as such. But if we think that storing up all of these things or regarding these things as what life is all about, then we've got the wrong idea. Jesus here in Matthew 6 uses the particular examples of the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear. And indeed, as I listen to other people and see what's going on in society around me, I think we do easily devote quite a lot of stuff, a lot of time and energy into those things. I guess we have to inevitably devote some time and energy to those things, otherwise we'd be dead from not eating and naked. Perhaps if we're dead, we wouldn't care if we're naked, but we've got to inevitably have to give some attention, if you like. But Jesus is saying not to invest ourselves in those things. I think Jesus wasn't only concerned with saying don't idolize food and clothes. He could have spoken about other things. Some of you know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You heard about that? Anyone who's studied, I don't know what it is, sociology, maybe psychology, or is it psychology, is it? There's this guy Maslow, first back in 1943, ages ago, published a thing about hierarchy of needs, sort of what we might think of as the various needs that we identify as humans. And at the very basic level, what he called the physiological level, the stuff like food and sleep and water to drink and so on, the basic physical stuff about without which your body stops operating, air to breathe. Then above that, there's a level that he calls safety, which has to do with safety and security. So we might think about resources and health and property. Then above that, there's a sense of love and belonging. So we need friendship, we need family, we need intimacy. And then above that, there's what's called esteem, which includes self-esteem and confidence and respect of others. And above that, there's another level called self-actualization with morality, creativity, problem-solving and the acceptance of reality around us. Now, I think Jesus could have gone through all of those things. What he's really saying is, don't invest yourself in the earthly stuff, whether it's the absolute bottom rung fundamental things like food and clothing or any of those things that I've just mentioned. Those things don't last. Those things belong to this world, and they're not actually what life is all about. What's the alternative? If Jesus is saying, concern yourself with treasures in heaven, concern yourself with the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes when preachers preach this text or people try to understand this text, I think they go too far in thinking about the don't be anxious thing. Come along on Wednesday at 11 to hear Amanda talking from a passage that I think is addressing the subject of not being anxious. That's a different subject, I think. The ESV, the Bible that I have in front of me, does say don't be anxious about your life. So it does use this word anxious. But the word that's translated anxious here is really not a sort of psychology, psychosis sort of type word. It's really saying more just give a mind to or concern yourself with. So Jesus' point here is not so much are you nervous and stressing about something, but are you concerning yourself with it? It's not simply don't be anxious, but don't be concerning yourself with these things. And when he says about your life, don't be anxious about your life, it'll be in verse 25, the word life there is not sort of normal Greek word for life. It's a word that has to do with your physical existence. It's sort of halfway between sort of life and body or something. It's not saying don't think about where you're going in life. It's saying don't be concerned about your physical existence, because life is more than that. And Jesus wants to lift our eyes, lift our vision. So the focus is on the alternative. What's the alternative to thinking about the physical existence stuff? The alternative is, well, to use Jesus' word, storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how can you store up treasure in heaven? What does that mean? How do you do that? Got a video clip. I hope the technology is going to work here. Well, the gates just open up and Scrat goes into heaven and there's acorns everywhere. Forget about it, Tom. Don't worry about it. There's cloud on top of the clouds everywhere. There's acorns everywhere. And he starts getting the acorns. Oh, it's so perfect. And then he looks up and sees, and there's this one giant acorn, you know, like enormous thing, 100 times the size of Scrat. And he can't believe it. Oh, so wonderful. Actually, the particular scene goes on to the fact that he's just about to get the giant acorn and he gets dragged back and he discovers that one of his friends has actually saved his life and he's not actually dead. So he gets angry at his friend for saving him from death. But the point is, you see, for Scrat knows what treasure in heaven is, doesn't he? Scrat knows it's a giant acorn, you know. What does it mean for us? What does it mean to have treasure in heaven? And maybe there's different answers have been suggested, and maybe you've got different ideas in mind. There's a couple of places in the New Testament and Jesus' teaching, and one example is in Luke 16, where Jesus says, make friends for yourselves so that when this earthly life is gone, you'll be with your friends in the eternal dwellings, which is pointing to the idea of wanting to have other people in heaven. See, what sort of stuff does make it into heaven? We've got no evidence to suggest that acorns go to heaven. What sort of stuff do we know goes to heaven? People. We know people go to heaven, you see. This passage is not talking about how we get to heaven. We know that that's trusting in Jesus. Jesus is the one who gave his life so that we can have eternal life because of Jesus' death for us. Jesus died to reconcile us to God, to open the gates of heaven, if you like. Eternal life through Jesus. But if we act in such a way as to encourage other people also to trust in Jesus, to know eternal life through him, then that may be one way of thinking about storing up treasure in heaven. It means we can anticipate something very good in heaven, that is to say a lot of people there praising and honouring God together, that those people will be redeemed, those people will be saved because they're in heaven with us. Elsewhere, the Bible also says that perhaps the way we behave now, if we behave in godly ways, that also perhaps can lay up treasure. Look at what, listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 18 and 19. Paul writes, this is where Paul is explaining to Timothy what Christian people should be doing. Paul says to Timothy, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life which is truly life. So Paul sees that the sort of actions that we should do, generosity and goodness towards other people, are the sort of things that may build up treasures in heaven. And we might think that those are two different ideas, you know, that we seek to act in such a way that other people will trust in Jesus and go to heaven, or we do good things towards others. But maybe they're really the same thing. We treat other people in such a way that they are most likely to come to Jesus, to honour Jesus, to trust in Jesus, and to be Jesus' people, treasures in heaven. We are so easily distracted, aren't we, by the earthly things. Imagine a man goes into the National Gallery of Victoria. I'm still learning Victorian language, did I get that right? The National Gallery, have you been there? Some beautiful paintings on the walls. Imagine a guy goes in there and starts taking some of the smaller paintings off the wall and puts them under his arm, going around gathering a few. So one of the security guys comes to him and says, you can't do that, they're not yours, you can't take them. And the guy says, oh, don't be a killjoy. I'm not actually going to take them out of here, but I'm gathering them up. People are looking at me like I'm very important. I've got the right to wander around here and get these paintings for myself just for a little while, you know. Don't be a killjoy. We'd think that guy was a fool, wouldn't we? Someone who behaved like that. Because they're not his. He can't take them with him. He can't take them out of the gallery and go home with them. So why does he bother thinking that he's got to collect them for himself while he's in the gallery? He should just look at them and enjoy them. That's how it should be with us. Well, at least not how it should be with us here on earth. We shouldn't be thinking that the physical stuff around us we've got to actually grab for ourselves. We can't take it with us, of course, when we leave this earthly life. It's simply something that we can see, maybe in some ways use for God's benefit, for earthly purposes, rather than think that we have to attach it to ourselves or attach ourselves to it. It's the same sort of idea that Jesus wants us to have here. Let's recognise that the earthly stuff is earthly stuff. Rust will destroy. Moths will put holes in it. It'll wear out. Something will come along and it will be gone. Even, well, whatever it is that you might think of. You buy a new car and in a month or a week later it gets a scratch in it. You buy some nice piece of clothing and then it gets a hole in it or wears out or gets a stain on it or something. Whatever it is, something goes wrong, doesn't it? After a while, it won't last forever. You can't take it with you. Don't think that life consists in these things, Jesus is saying. But rather, as the alternative to that, he wants us to be focused on what will last forever. So, as I said at the beginning, this text is more about focusing on the good stuff, focusing on what will last forever, focusing on treasures in heaven, getting other people with us to trust in Jesus, things that will last for all eternity, seeking first the kingdom of God. It's worth a moment, taking a moment to just think about those words as well. The kingdom of God. We shouldn't think of the kingdom of God as being a place, you know, like the kingdom of Nepal or something. It's not a matter of going to somewhere, but it's rather the idea of God being king, God being in charge. So seek the reality of God being in charge of things, being in charge of your life, being in charge of other people around you. Seek that reality. That means live your life with Jesus as your Lord. That's seeking the kingship of Jesus. And seek to let others know also about Jesus so that they also can acknowledge Jesus as their king. That's spreading the message of Jesus as king, the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom, the being ruler of our God himself. I want to finish with a quote from someone that we can all do well to learn from John Piper, whom Nat has spoken of before, but I also think has got good things to teach us. John Piper has developed his sort of mission statement, his statement for his whole life, which is not a bad one to think about and to model ourselves on as well. In short, John Piper says, I exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples through Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. I exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God, that's like the kingdom of God, isn't it? The supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples. He knows that to have Jesus is to have joy through Jesus Christ. One more time, in case some of you want to write it down. I exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples through Jesus Christ. I think that's a good way of unpacking. Seek first the kingdom of God for our lives. It doesn't mean we don't buy stuff from Aldi, but it does mean that when we're buying stuff, it's simply a means to an end. And the end is that our lives can honour Jesus as our Lord and bring others to honour that Jesus as well.